Now, in Venezuela, the desperate search for survivors continues as we come to 1 week since the devastating twin earthquakes. More than 2,200 people have died, with about 50,000 believed to still be missing. There's growing outrage at the government's response. Many Venezuelans are accusing authorities of abandoning them for days without equipment or personnel, leaving them to search for survivors with no support. There have also been reports that sites linked to the government have been given preferential treatment in rescue operations, while in other areas, even where there is heavy machinery, it isn't being used because there isn't enough fuel. Catherine Ellis is a freelance journalist reporting from Venezuela. She joins me now from Caracas. Catherine Ellis, welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Thank you for having me.
Look, it's been a week now since the earthquakes hit. How would you describe the momentum right now with these rescue and recovery efforts?
Well, you know, I'm just at a donation centre at the minute, actually, in Caracas. And what I can say in the last week is this effort has mainly been led by people. That's everything from donations and aid to the actual rescue effort as well. I mean, Caracas was hit, obviously, by the earthquake, but the actual worst of the damage is just north of Caracas, about 40 minutes north. And there it's like a war zone. It's a complete disaster. Now, I've been a few times in the last few days, and there have been literally people sifting through the rubble, trying to find people that they still know are trapped there. It has changed. It's been a week now. So, you know, we do see international rescue teams, you know, send the Jordanian team, the Qataris, the British, the Australians are there. But it has mainly been people without masks, without helmets, and people have become quite frustrated and quite angry, especially when they see military in the street that are just standing around or just directing traffic, basically. So there is a lot of frustration.
Yeah, can you explain that for me a bit more? What is the lack of involvement here from the Venezuelan government? Is it that they don't have the resources? Is it how the resources are being deployed? Explain it for me a little more if you can.
I think it's a little bit of everything. I think they didn't expect something like this, which many people are angry about. Of course, you cannot predict an earthquake. We don't know that's going to happen. But Venezuela has been hit by earthquakes before. It's been hit by disasters before. In 1999, there were mudslides that had killed thousands of people. So they're very, very frustrated at the lack of preparedness for this, and also the lack of response straight after. You know, people have been saying it's other governments that's saving us. It's not our own government. Now, the government has been trying to kind of stem this kind of information going out, saying, look, we're doing everything we can. Delcy Rodriguez, the interim prime minister, you know, she's visiting all these places. The military's doing a really good job. But a lot of people on the ground are just saying they just haven't done enough. It's been too late. And now when you actually are in La Guaira, unfortunately, you know that there are dead bodies around because unfortunately you can smell them. And yesterday I was just outside a building. Some people had driven on a motorbike 15 hours to try and find their family, and they died. Unfortunately, they were, you know, this family was just sat at the side, so they were trying to look for their relatives, and unfortunately, the relatives had died. Like, we were standing in front of the house, the man was just sat on the floor crying. The house, the different levels of the floor had just kind of collapsed into one level. It was just a heap of rubble. It was horrendous, and the owner of the house was actually going through the rubble, looking through it, looking for his wife because he just couldn't find her. There was another woman there as well who was very lucky. She said, I'm extremely lucky. I haven't lost my house. I haven't lost any family, but I'm a school teacher and a lot of my kids have died.
Oh, there's just horrendous, impossible to imagine from the other side of the world of what that must be like. But can you explain to me, when people are making these efforts to try and search for relatives or friends and family by themselves without machinery? Because we hear that there are some places where there's heavy machinery, but it can't be used because there's not enough fuel. Is that something you've seen?
That's something I've seen on social media. And there are places that are running out of that. Yesterday, there were a couple that I saw that had run out of fuel. I'm not sure about today. People are trying to take with them. There's basically things run out, water might run out, and then it's replaced again. So that that does keep changing. But yeah, the heavy machinery, one, there's not enough heavy machinery to go round. Heavy machinery can't always be used if they think there's still survivors in there as well. So that's another issue. But what people are most annoyed about is that there's not, you know, the actual military and actual people from the Venezuelan state aren't doing enough to actually go through the rubble themselves. It's ordinary people. Another guy that I met yesterday had come from another city and said, you know, I have three daughters. I'd hate to think that they were just lying there injured and no one was looking for them. So these are ordinary people from Caracas, local communities and across Venezuela that are looking for people with their bare hands.
And there have been some reports of preferential treatment, that some of the machinery and resources have been funneled towards wealthy people who've got the capacity to pay for it. Again, is that something you've seen any evidence of?
That's something I've heard. So yesterday, actually, when I was at this site with this collapsed house, people were telling me, look around, there is nobody here with heavy machinery. There is no one helping us. But if you go down the road where somebody more important lives, you know, there is. There's heavy machinery. There are people helping. So that is certainly something that people are feeling here. I mean, apart from that, I mean, I tweeted about it the other day, even the treatment towards the international press. You know, normally you don't get in very easily. You have to have a special visa, but they're letting us in at the minute. You know, there was a spread laid out the other day with nice food, even little fans keeping flies off the food. Hadn't been invited to that. They weren't given the buses we were given to get to La Guaira. So there's a big difference between, you know, how ordinary Venezuelans are actually being treated to either international teams and then people who have high-ranking families.
Catherine Ellis, thank you so much for speaking to me this morning. I appreciate you sharing your experiences with us. Thank you.
Thank you.